Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of 10 Down with Terry and David. I've just been informed that I have to remove the stabilizers.
Yes, you do.
Sydney's bike.
Hello, and everybody. Welcome back.
You want to do it 2 days before we go on holidays, which means...
Yes.
What, Terry?
David, take the stabilizers off.
Take
we don't have a wrench. Off. I'm going to get Barry to take them off, and then I'll...
You're going to get Barry to take them off.
Yeah, because you won't. She's been asking for months.
I'm avoiding the problem of her hurting herself.
You're avoiding her teaching.
That's not what I said.
But it is.
I didn't say I'm avoiding teaching her. She
but
doesn't even listen about
ultimately,
going up and down the stairs, let alone going on a bike.
Ultimately, you are. You're preventing her from progressing. Take the stabilizers off. Take the stabilizers off. She will learn. And if she falls, she falls.
If she dies, she dies.
She'll get back up and she won't fall the next time.
Terry, the stabilizers were taken off you and yourself a long, long time ago because you just can't seem to keep yourself straight.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't
about?
Know. But why do you all sit like that? Sydney walked around the house like that as well with her button open.
Well, I have my button open because I feel like my trousers are very tight.
But they're not. You can see they're loose.
But it's more comfortable.
Comfortable. Okay, go on. Introduce yourself, Terry.
Hello, everybody. My name is Terry McAvoy and I am the future ex-wife of David Fitzpatrick.
Wow. So we'll get divorced and then you'll remarry me. Is that what you say?
No, the future ex-wife, as in we are married now and we will be divorced.
But you'll remarry me?
No.
Because you couldn't live without me, Terry.
Yes, so we missed last week because my gorgeous sister, Cassie, got married in Ballymacarvey. We probably should have given you the heads up that we were going to miss an episode. Sorry about that. But yeah, she got married to Eric and they're off on their honeymoon now. And it was honestly, one of the best weeks of our lives. Like, it was incredible.
Fairy tale.
Yeah, a fairy tale is the only way to describe it. They're together since they're teenagers and there was just so much fun and love. And like, the group of friends that they have are just incredible. Mm. And just the whole day from start to finish. And my God, like, I know she's my sister and I know I'm biased, but like, she was the most...
She was absolutely stunning.
Outrageous bride, like...
And you know what, in a frustrating way, it was that with Cassie, because of her personality, like, she hates being getting compliments. She gets like, she's like...
She doesn't like the
attention.
Like
all that. But like, I had to stop her. I was like, Cassie, you are absolutely glowing. And she's like... have you seen such and such?
Yeah,
I do not realize what I just said to you.
No, she looked gorgeous. But we will rewind it back a little bit. So we had the August bank holiday weekend before the wedding and it was so nice to just do nothing. Like, we did nothing that weekend. I think we went out once with the kids and it was just so nice to just relax and do nothing. I had been at the Armada Point with Primark and when I was there, I asked them, did they have availability for the August bank holiday weekend? They were like, yep, do you want to take it? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to come back here with the kids. And I said it to David and I was like, we're going to go to Clare. We're going to pack up the car, like literally 4 days before my sister's wedding. I was like, we're going to pack up the car. We're going to do this, that and the other. And then as I thought about it, I was like, why am I doing this to myself? Why do I do this to myself? I have a chance here to relax for 3 days.
But you know what we did after that then? Great. It was a good call that we didn't do that. We got all the kids into the car. We drove to Woody's, bought paint, and then start painting the treehouse.
In the rain. And it hasn't rained in weeks.
And it was
then there was chaos in Woody's. There was tantrums. Because little miss wanted to push the buggy. Then we let her push the buggy. Then she wanted to push the trolley.
The trolley with the paint in it.
Then we couldn't let her do that because it was going to fall. Like, lately, I'm like, oh my God, parenting is getting so much easier. And then just an L spanner gets thrown into the works and we're back in this territory.
Mm.
Don't want to say too much, but holy God.
Holy God of Christ, God.
Teenager. We have a teenager.
Yeah, but Terry said last night, we need to get Sydney back on track with like what
she likes
the way
routine.
She's going on.
She's like you.
Because Miles is now slowly approaching that one to two phase where all kids just... have the terrible,
yeah,
the terrible
like
ones, the terrible twos.
So it's called the terrible twos, but Sydney definitely hit that at about 13 months.
Mm.
That's when it kind of, I like, you know, the tantrums, the temper, just the outrageous meltdowns. And I said to David last night, I was like, you know, if you think this is hard, because
imagine
we had a really tough day yesterday. I was like, if you think this is hard, you know, this is, we're still in the honeymoon period, like where his software hasn't downloaded yet. Like, and you can see it.
He's looking at her.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's watching her, but you can see it. Like this morning you told him to get away from the curtains and he was like, yeah. Did you notice that?
He shark eyes you.
No, but he gave out to you for telling him to get away from the curtains. Mm. So we're getting to that point and I'm like, you know, it's hard enough when you have one tantrum, but like we're about to enter that zone where they don't want to get into the buggy. They start straightening out. You have to press them.
What's this thing that he has when he does it's like a break dancer when you're trying to change his nappy, where he twists his whole body to,
and he balances his whole body on his head.
That's his a neck, good way of describing it.
He's a neck of steel,
like how does he do that? Air,
like even Karen's like, it's like changing a baby dinosaur, like.
Yeah.
So anyway, look. Deep breaths. And thanks, by the way, for all the messages about our episode last week. I had quite a few DMs from people just saying like it was refreshing to hear, because, you know, whenever they're trying to like, you know, give their kids direction, they feel very guilty about it. And I know that feeling. I went to bed last night because we obviously had like a really tough day yesterday.
Mm.
And like there was absolute meltdowns because, you know, we had to like ground Sydney basically.
She like all kids at that age, I remember, and we spoke about last night, whenever you got grounded, especially in the summer, and you can hear your friends out on the road, it's like your walls
are caving in. I had to stick with it though. Like I had to, because it was just, the behavior was just not the one.
Mm.
And David had been out at an appointment, and when he came back, I was upstairs changing Miles, like in complete shock at the carry-on that was happening. And David walked up to say, no, ran up the stairs, because I think he probably thought I was like,
I thought at first maybe they're messing, and then I was like,
as he got closer,
I was like, closer. No, she's actually being put into a blender.
Like, that's what I was like. And then I was in the opposite room, and he just looked at me and goes, what's going on? And I was like, she's actually in there on her own, like, absolutely trashing the place. Yeah. Like,
but
anyway, quickly moving on, parenting fail.
That's wasn't a feint of parenting fail, because eventually it will click with Sydney. And we've said this before,
it's that routine. She loves a routine, and when she's out of the routine, like all hell breaks loose, and you have to kind of explain everything that's happening.
Mm.
Like, you know, we must have spoken about the wedding and the how the day would go and like what would happen a million times.
Mm.
And she was the best girl like all day.
Oh, no,
she knew to a T what was happening next.
Yeah. And obviously with wedding, things can be slightly changed or delayed in somewhat way. She was like, I'm at the wedding. Why are we not doing exactly what you said you were doing now? Mm. You know, so.
No, she was very good. It's brilliant. Anyway, we're moving off the point. But yeah, we relaxed all through the bank holiday weekend. And then it was all systems go for the wedding. And my sister actually got married in Ballymacarvey. And like, that was probably the most well-oiled machine I've ever seen.
Mm.
When it comes to weddings. Like, you know, normally you're sitting there and you're waiting on the starter. And then there's a big massive gap. And then you're waiting on the mains. And then there's a big massive gap, and then there's speeches, and then there's desserts, and then it's just like, it's all right. And then you're waiting on the band to set up, and then you're waiting on this. It was like clockwork.
Yeah, I think after the starter, which by the way, the starter came out, and I looked at our friends on either side, and I was like, is this the main? Because I had asked for steak, and it came out, and it looked like it was a steak pie. Wasn't it like a steak mushroom pie?
Delicious.
Gorgeous. I was like, surely this is not a starter. And then the main came out. I was like, holy Christ. Then the start or the dessert came out. But between each gap, there was nothing. I was going to the toilet, I turned around the food, it was gone.
Yeah.
Right. And then you got a new plate.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. I have to say, from start to finish. And like, they have this, for any bride to be's, they have like this area for all the bridal party to get ready. So you go down to Ballymacarvey the morning of, and they had this whole entire area. And it was like, so beautiful. So
it felt like you were in a house.
Yeah, it was huge. Like, you know the way normally you're getting ready in a hotel room, it's quite cramped. Oh my God, it was amazing. Amazing. Highly, highly recommend. Like, really. And the room was already decked out. Like, you don't have to do anything to the room. You don't have to dress the room up at all. Like,
yeah, no, it was an absolutely stunning venue. But I seen this funny video last night of waiters. While that we're talking about how waiters was like completely flawless at bringing all the stuff out.
Mm.
Seen this video where butlers, do you ever see a butler being trained?
No.
So if somewhere in the UK, there was like a room, like a venue room that you'd use for like a wedding or a party.
Yeah.
And they had like all these butlers that were going through their training exercise, and they're all in a circle, fully kitted, wearing had the plates with all the glasses on it. And there's a teacher in the middle. And as they're walking around, he's throwing objects at them. He's throwing basketballs. He was throwing shoes, chairs. And they've to like
Dodged them
and not let anything fall off the tray.
Oh my God. That is nuts.
Because, you know, when they're walking through, like, you know, frantically at a wedding, people stand up unexpectedly or they bump off you. You know, that's what they were training for. That's crazy.
That is horrendous.
Yeah.
That's horrendous. I don't know why it popped into my head, but I had like my heart screen done with Leia. We're with Leia Health Insurance and they do like this complimentary heart screening thing. Anyway, I went in and the woman that was doing my ECG, she was a nurse and she was complimenting my ring. And then she was like, your nails are lovely. She was so lovely. She was an older woman. Like
this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was so lovely and she just kept complimenting me. And I was like, oh, and then she was like, you're too young to be married. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, if I could kiss you, I would.
What is she looking for?
I was like, I'm 37. She was like, what? And she was looking at the ECG machine. She was like, you're not. And I was like, I am. I'm 37 with two kids. And then she was like chatting away. And she's like, and what do you do for a living? And I was like, I hate
talking. How do you explain about it?
I just said I worked in advertising and I had like my own brand or whatever. And then she was, but then always sparks questions. Like, not that I hate talking about it, but I don't know. Like, I just kind of feel like it's hard to explain, especially to the older generation. Mm. Like, how do you explain what I do to them? Like, I make videos. But anyway, I was saying all that to her and then something came up about the ECG and I said something. She said, but are you a nurse or a doctor? I said, yeah, I'm a nurse. I used to be. And she was like, oh, it's never you used to be. I don't know why I'm telling you this. You said something there about training. That's what it was.
Mm.
And I said, really? I said, because I've been feeling a little bit guilty lately about, like, you know, kind of leaving it all behind. I go in and out of this, like David will tell you. And she was like, no, she had three kids, right? And she left nursing for 16 years until they were raised. And then she went back and she's in health screening now.
Good for her.
And I was like, oh my God, you know what? I really needed to have this conversation because I feel terribly guilty sometimes. Like, I was nursing right up till I got pregnant on my son Miles. Like, I was teaching nursing, like I was a clinical facilitator. And I was telling her all that. And she was like, well, sure, would you stop? And she was like, you'll always have it. And I just really needed that conversation.
Mm.
And I was like, you know, what training did you do to go back? And she was telling me. And then she was like, she never lose it. And then, sorry, the reason why I bring this up is because, you know, you forget all the training that goes into like people's professions. And I would have never said that.
You know? I've never even thought about it either.
Yeah, that a butler would be having balls and stuff thrown at them. Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up, but it was a very nice conversation and something that I needed because I did a Q&A on Instagram last night and loads of people were like, are you still nursing? Do you still nurse? And normally I answer it, but I just couldn't. I was like, oh, just makes me sad sometimes.
While we're on the point, I honestly do, and not for... Like, obviously, the last time you nursed was during COVID.
That was the last time I bedside nursed. Yes. No, it wasn't during COVID. It was when Sydney was... After I had Sydney, I went back and done a couple of shifts. But
my point is that when you started back...
As a facilitator?
No, when you started back on the wards.
Yeah.
Patient to patient, it was during COVID. So, but I do and I can visualize you being back in your uniform again.
Mm.
At some point, I do see
it. Well, like I was talking to that woman there and she was telling me, she was like, I'd never go back to the wards. Like, I'd never go back. It was such a slog. And I was like, yeah. She used to work in cardiac ICU and we were just chatting and she worked in coronary care. And like, we were just chatting and I was like, yeah, it's such a slog. And she was like, you know, after a certain amount of years, like you deserve not to be doing that, like as nurses. And she was like, I come in here, I do my health screening. Like she does like ECGs, bloods, like all of those things. She gets everything prepped for the doctors. And she's like, it's so lovely. It's so stress-free. The team are lovely. And I was like, that sounds lovely.
Mm.
I was like, I'd love to do that like once or twice a week now.
And what was her name? Mary?
I don't know. I didn't catch her name, but I was like, that's kind of a lovely job. Do you know where my dream, can I tell you what my dream would be, right? My dream would be to keep doing this and once or twice a fortnight, so maybe once a week, go into a dressing clinic because I love doing dressings.
Mm.
Like I love wounds. I loved plastics. I loved that. I love talking to people. I love helping people. I love seeing progress. Like,
I'm sure there's
progress.
Part time where you could go.
But that is my that would be a dream scenario for me. Mm. Like a nice little dressing clinic somewhere or an outpatients.
Of course, and it sounds amazing. But I think the line of the business that you're in, things change so quickly.
Yeah,
where you'd be like, say you're booked in to do those hours this Thursday.
I know.
and then all of a sudden something goes.
Can you go out to TK Maxx and film this reel?
You know, it's like,
I know, how could you ever?
You just put yourself under so much stress.
I
know,
because I was doing it before Miles was born. I was working as a clinical facilitator with students, but I was able to pick my own hours. Like, as in, they'd be on the ward and it would be up to me when I went out to them. Mm. So that kind of suited me.
Mm. But I forgot you did it.
Yeah.
When Sydney was born.
Yeah, I did it right up until last year.
I know, that's what I mean. I completely forgot you did that. I was talking about you on the actually physically working bedside.
Bedside. That's the last shift I did was, I'm going to say 2022, like as a bedside nurse.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. But
it was a night shift and I walked out of there like, I walked out of that night shift like the Joker leaving the hospital when it blew up. I didn't look back. I was like, never again. It was just chaos.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't need to be here. I don't need to be here. This is nuts. Like, arguing with doctors and like, just, no, I won't get into it, but the scenarios, no, not the one. Anyway, sister's wedding was amazing. So happy. Congratulations, Eric and Cassie.
They're on their honeymoon now.
On their honeymoon. I just loved them so much.
See the pictures that come up from their honeymoon. And yeah. I was like, it just couldn't be any happier for them. Like, I was like, they both look amazing. Go and enjoy themselves. I remember our honeymoon was also Greece, funny enough, and it wasn't by choice. It's because we were trying to go to Mexico. Flight got cancelled, and we had a week to decide. Yeah. So we just booked Greece.
I know.
But it was amazing.
Anyway, I got trolled.
Is this got to do with the cheese?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. No, sorry. I'll rephrase that. I am not surprised.
Why?
Because you knew it was going to trigger people, let alone going to trigger me. Because Jake can't have cheese. Dogs can't have cheese in general.
Dogs can have cheese.
No, they can't.
Right. Let me tell you a little story. I had a dog, Casper, who lived till he was 14. Right. I've had dogs all my life. And they have cheese. And Casper had cheese. And it's their favorite thing in the whole world. Right. In moderation. That's what it's all about. It's like chocolate. Like, we can't survive off chocolate. You wouldn't give a dog cheese all day long.
Would you give a dog chocolate?
No, never. But you would never give Jake chocolate or Jake cheese all day long. But a little nibble.
I saw that block of cheese afterwards. I saw that block of cheese and there was more than a nibble that went off.
Well, I had a go at it as well. But Jake deserves a little nibble of cheese. I came in and he was kissing me. And we were having the chats in the kitchen and I was loving them. And I was like, do you know what? You deserve some cheese. And I didn't want to get the cheese grater out and I didn't want to dirty a knife. So I was like, let's just chomp into this, me and you.
You didn't want to dirty a knife. I don't believe that for one second.
But the two of us had a block of cheese. He had a nibble, a few nibbles. Anyway, I posted it on my stories, which I woke up to the next morning. I was like, I shouldn't have did that. Because I never usually post like when I'm out or like having a drink. Because I just don't do it anymore. I used to. But I shared it and then I just woke up to like four messages, I'd say. And one girl was like, this is so fucking cruel. He's going to shit himself. And I was like, no, he's not. It was a joke. Like, it was a joke. I'd hardly give him cheese if I thought it was going to make him shit himself. It was a joke. And I just always think, you know, you say things on the internet and people take it really literal. Like, you can't have a joke anymore. Like,
yeah, but people will do that, Terry. They'll jump on it straight away.
Why can't you have a joke? Like, just it's a joke. Like, I'd hardly give... Like, and by the way, I wasn't even that drunk. I had like 5 drinks and about 10,000 shots, but that doesn't matter.
I was just about to say bullshit when you said 5 drinks.
Well, I actually did have 5 drinks, but I just had a lot of shots in between that. But I wasn't that drunk because I'd eaten like all day. I drank water. Me and Louise were down in water at the bar. You'd be very proud of us. But like, I'd hardly give him something that was going to make him like shit himself.
But I did.
He didn't shit himself.
Do you know he didn't shit himself?
I absolutely know he didn't shit himself because you would have told me he didn't shit himself.
Now you're stressing him out.
Jake, would you like some cheese? Cheese? Yes, he knows. He's an angel and he deserves all the cheese. And he just had a nibble. Anyway.
Did you like the photos I took of him yesterday?
Loved them. They're gorgeous. He's divine.
He is divine. Why have Jake on the topic, right? Can I read something out to you, Terry, about dog signs that I'd see if you knew? Right. 7 hidden signals your dog is trying to send you. Now, knowing you because you are part, I don't know, mysterious Greek crazy woman over there. You're a bit of a witch. You know the way you can sense and smell things from a mile away?
Yes, smell the bullshit.
Let me know if you know these ones, right? A dry shake. When a completely dry dog violently shakes its entire body.
They're getting rid of energy or like stress.
It is actively discharging acute adrenaline.
Yeah, I know that.
How did you know that? If you do this, right, every morning if you wake up and do this, shake your body like this.
Does that feel good? Makes you happy?
Like that. You just keep shaking. One, two. It's like 6,000 degrees in this room right now. Keep shaking like this. And you go la, 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 like that.
Yeah.
And he's doing a stretch. So that's the next one we'll get to.
A stretch means they're happy and they're comfortable around you.
Yeah. So the paw lift, right? Lifting a single front paw when remaining entirely stationary is a physical manifestation of active progress.
Seeking.
Yes.
Yeah. They're seeking like affection.
Or they're unsure also. If he just lifts a paw, like they're unsure. Following you to the bathroom, as we know, Jake.
Protection.
Jake walks to the bathroom, turns around and then sits facing the door.
He faces out. He's looking after you while you're taking your morning shit.
It's infuriating.
No, but it's like all dogs do it. Like
I'm like, I walk in, try to get a bit of peace. And next of all, you just hear the scratch because his claw goes around the door like that.
Because dogs are most vulnerable when they're taking a shit. So they're doing you a favor and being like, I'll watch your back while you're taking this shit.
Yes.
Is that right?
True. So next one, heavy sigh.
Let me think. Pissed off.
No, it can work both ways. Like, it's also a bit of like reassurance that like they're relaxed.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Sometimes when they're sleeping, they sit forward and they just a big sigh. Head tilt.
Trying to understand. Not fully making sense of something.
Yeah, expression of human confusion.
Yeah.
Sleeping on your clothes.
That's like a separation thing.
Dog sleeping on your warm clothing is utilizing data to stimulate physical proximity when you leave the house. So it's like smells and whatnot. And the second last one was downward dog that we just seen.
Relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I Caesar?
Caesar Milan.
Caesar McAvoy.
Caesar Milan. Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah. I used to love it. I actually signed up as a volunteer for the NSPCA.
Is that why you got that phone call for?
Yes, I told you.
You told me that we were actually taking puppies. That's what you told me.
Though I just need to fill out the thing. I've been approved. We've been approved.
You've also been approved into Amos.
And basically, what happens is you sign up and then you get notification on the app when pups and stuff come in. Or like dogs, like I've signed up for like older dogs. I've signed up for palliative care. Mm. Like if there's a dying dog that it's not going to die in a shelter, that you bring them home and they like supply with all the like medication and the equipment to help them have a peaceful, relaxed death.
See, Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa. But like, because you can sign up for all these things. And I was like, imagine being able to do that for a dog, like to give them comfort rather than dying in a shelter.
I hate seeing the dogs. The video popped up from one of the shelters.
Sorry for going across you, but there's like the problem with us is I would love to take on like all of the broken dogs and like fix them. Like, you know, the ones that were abused. Because I was like, yeah, I'd absolutely take on dogs that are like, they come from like they're seized.
Mm.
But the problem is that they're usually seized by people that have mistreated them and then it's an ongoing court case. So imagine like I took a dog that was seized and then like posted it on Instagram or something and this person seen it and they were like giving me fucking dog back. Like,
so Terry has said this to me as a threat for many, many years, which the threat then leads into a joke, which hurts me every time, right? Terry says to me, what would you do one day if someone just turned up the door and says, his name is not Jake, his name is whatever.
Michael.
And his Michael, and he's my dog and I've been looking for him. I'd be like, bye-bye, motherfucker, because he's not yours.
Well, imagine, what would you do?
I just say I'm really sorry to tell you, but he's not yours.
But do you know that's like you losing Jake now, right? Say you went on a walk, you lost him, and then in 5 years' time, you came across him.
So here's the answer, what you already know is going to be.
But imagine, Jake is ours.
If I lost Jake, I would not let a day go past where I would not be looking for him. That's my point. Every vet, every hospital, everything would be...
Geppetto, going around looking for Pinocchio.
Someone lost Jake.
Pinocchio!
Deliberately. Someone lost Jake deliberately, right?
Pinocchio!
That's that. What you're saying doesn't even make sense.
You're right. But anyway, I've been approved. We're going to do it. Because you know what, David? The reality is that we can't go on as many holidays now because Sydney's in school.
So add more kids to the house.
But yes, I think now is the right time because we're kind of more settled. Like as in, yeah, we're more settled. So I'd love to be able to take on all the damaged dogs as well, but we can't because we already have a dog and we have a young child. So a puppy is more suitable. Mm. So if any rescue pups, like I've seen like a litter of pups were literally thrown into a bin, like a bin to die.
Yeah, but I've seen a video, what I was saying a minute ago, I've seen a video, and what's the hardest ones, whatever with puppies, it's heartbreaking, right? But they're puppies. They don't know any different. My other side of it is, see the dogs that are like, they've been in a home for 10 plus years, and then they've just been handed over to a shelter. Like, and they're sitting there going,
there's lots of them.
When is my mom and dad coming back?
Yeah, there's lots of them.
And that's what breaks my heart.
Yeah, there's lots of them. And like, you know, it's I've signed up for fostering with the option of adopting. Mm. So like, I did explain to her on the phone, I was like, you know, I'd love to adopt another dog. But unfortunately, we did foster a dog before. Remember Bronte?
Yeah.
And he bit me, he bit Cassie. He had possession aggression. We knew that. Didn't like men. He was shitting on the stairs, which all the pooing and the weeing stuff I can handle, but it's the biting that I can't. Like, I remember, you know, nieces and nephews came over to the house and like,
we had to put him in the other room.
Went for them and stuff. Like, you know, gorgeous little thing. But like, you just cannot have dogs like that in a house with kids. Mm. So like, I did say to her, I explained that to her. It's like, we tried before, but like, we were lucky that we'd actually fostered, because I would absolutely hate to adopt a dog.
And then give them back.
And then have to give them back. And she said it happens so much. Mm. So like, you're better off fostering, keeping the dog with you. And then, so they're not bouncing back and forward to homes. Mm. So they stay with you. And then when they find a suitable forever home for them, then you hand it over.
Because I remember when we fostered Jake first, they got in touch with us, maybe, I don't know, a couple of days,
said
a week
later. Potential.
And they got on touch and they were like, how are you getting on with Jake? We have a potential someone. And we were like, hey, nope, he's not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere. And that might happen. That might happen first go. Like, if we get a pup. And also I did say, because they were saying, you know, to have a litter of pups, sometimes they send them off in pairs because they get really upset when they're on their own. Mm. And she was like, would you be open to pairs? I was like, I actually think that'd be better because, no, it would, right? And
I'll tell you why. From one to three
Caesar
dogs.
Caesar McAvoy over here. I have had pups as a kid and they hell, David. They hell.
Well, you know, I've had pups too.
And you're better off having them together because then they mind each other.
Imagine Jake with two pups.
And by the way, if we're taking another dog on, they live downstairs. As in, like, that's where they'll live. Like, is they'll sleep in the kitchen in a nice bed and hopefully then Jake will follow suit, because I actually don't think it's a good idea having the dogs upstairs, because during the night if there's a noise, they bark and they wake the whole house up if they're upstairs.
Hmm.
And teach them to
You teach Jake how to not be in the bed with
me. In fairness, I'm full of shite. If we get another dog, it'd be like their arse would be sleeping in front of my face. That's basic. Right, okay. So yeah, I've signed up. We'll see how it goes. And I'm absolutely starving. Do you know?
Don't say faux.
How did you know? So, you know my favorite restaurant
in Blanchardstown? Is that what you're about to tell me?
No. You know my favorite restaurant in Blanchardstown?
The Asian
Japanese
place?
Japanese. They've opened one in Swords.
The same one?
Franchise. So I was going to ask you if you wanted to come with me to get a little bit of lunch before I go shopping.
And what happens
after?
Since
we haven't had any time together.
What happens after we go for something to eat?
What do you mean?
Do I have to go shopping?
No.
So where do I go?
Home, or go to a coffee shop and edit this.
Okay, Terry.
Go on.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a lovely week. We're heading away on Thursday.
For Terry's birthday.
Going away. Oh yeah, my birthday's next week.
Let's not forget.
Yeah, we're going away next week for my birthday, and very much looking forward to it. So we'll catch you on the flip side.
Bye-bye.
Bye.